renders the man a slave. It makes him needy of everything. See, this is where we are. He feels strength and light continuously missing in him. His existence is always in danger. And whatever he obtains is by dint of prayers and hardship. Okay, this is where we're going to see the saints here. So the man who lives in his human will is the true beggar. Okay, they're begging God, please, 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 please. The one who lives in my holy divine will instead has need of nothing. He has everything at his disposal. Now, I was just driving my vehicle the other day, and I stopped at somebody's house, and my truck was smoking. The gasoline was pouring out of my engine onto the exhaust pipe where I'd just driven an hour, and the whole car was smoking. And this woman said to me, "Your truck is smoking." And I said, "And so are you." No, I know, I didn't say it. So we brought it to a gas station, and they lifted it up, and they looked at it, and they said, "Your truck, there's nothing holding the truck frame to the frame. It's just the weight of the vehicle on the thing." Now, think about it. I was going to give that truck to my brother. But you see, God takes care of everything. But just before that, I had a Harley, and this guy came up and he says, "I always wanted a Harley before I turned 50. And I said, "Well, I got a Harley. Why don't you take that?" He says, "Well, I just can't take it." I said, "Ah." So he took the Harley, and he gave me a Cadillac. So I have a 1989 Cadillac that drives like a Cadillac. But I mean, see, God, I didn't have to worry about anything. I didn't have to worry about the truck catching on fire. I didn't have to worry about taking a corner and have the truck falling off. I didn't have to worry about the Harley. I didn't have to worry about another car. God, see, that's what it says. I mean, listen to that. Very clearly, you have need of nothing. Everything is at your disposal. See, and it's the same thing with each and every one. If you have difficulty, just turn everything. Are you guys dealing drugs there? Okay. Okay. Sit down. You can do all that later. This is more important. So you have need of nothing. This is what God wants. He wants us to realize that everything is in his hands. There's nothing to worry about. If a hurricane is coming towards you, there is nothing to worry about. A lady, remember where that down in the hurricane came into New York City and the water came in? Everybody ran, she says. All my neighbors took off. They all ran. And she said, "I trust in God. I in the divine will, don't come near me." And the water came right up to her doorstep. Nobody was in the neighborhood. She was the only one left. But it's the same thing. It's not to be, you know, ridiculous, but trust in God, believe in God, hope in God, have confidence in God. And Jesus says here, everything is at your disposal. You have need of nothing. So he says this, "My divine will gives him dominion over himself, and therefore he is master of strength and of light." Again, divine strength, divine light. "And not of human strength and human light, but divine. His existence is always safe. Being the master, he can take whatever he wants, nor does he need to ask in order to receive." That's what I'm saying. God is going to take care of everything. The Lord knows you. Okay, once you've given your will to him, once you're living in the divine will, you don't even have to ask. Okay? In fact, before Adam withdrew from my divine will, prayer did not exist. Okay, this is the whole reason for this retreat. In the divine will, before Adam fell, prayer did not exist. Okay, so what is that going to tell us? God is going to teach us a way to pray that is going to be different. Okay, this is why I'm talking about the power that's coming. The power that's coming is going to be so astonishing. As we learn this, As we really become the masters of what God is asking us, watch what's going to happen. "It is need that gives rise to prayer. But since there was nothing Adam needed, Adam had nothing to ask for or to impetrate. Therefore, he loved, he praised, he adored his Creator, but prayer had no place in the terrestrial Eden. Okay, now that's going to happen to us. Now, this is why Jesus said to St. Faustina, the last devotion I'm going to give you for the church, the last devotion to the church that I'm going to give to the church is divine mercy. That's the last devotion before I return. Now, that's what Jesus said. Before I return, this is the last devotion. Which means that soon we're going to be living the life that Adam possessed before the fall. Okay? So here's what Jesus says. This is why this is asterisked up there. This is very important that we know this. Prayer came and rose after sin as an extreme need of the heart of man. When one prays, it means he needs something. And since he hopes for it, he prays in order to obtain it. On the other hand, this is Louisa and us. The one who lives in my divine will lives as master in the opulence of the goods of her Creator. And if she feels any need or any desire, seeing herself in the midst of so many goods, it is that of wanting to give to others her happiness and the goods of her great fortune. So we can give this to everybody. So it's not... See, what we learned 30 years ago on mimeograph sheets, and what we studied for 30 years, hard work, hard sweat. No, I'm only kidding. What happened was you guys who begin this have that understanding already. See, it's as the divine will grows, when somebody starts 10 years from now, they will have what we've already learned for the next 10 years. See, so don't panic. All that God is looking for is the desire. If you desire this, you have it. What Father Bucci knows, and he knew Louisa, we also possess in the divine will. What we, like I'm saying, studied so hard, works are. Well, I mean, for example, when we were praying for all the volumes, okay, that was in 1995, we were praying to all the volumes were released. When the volumes were released in 1996, when the volumes were translated in 2005, everyone who's now reading it is where, I mean, they don't have to work 30 years to get this. So the more that you pray this, the more somebody in India is already living it. The more that you live this, the more somebody in Africa is now living it with what you have. See, all it is the desire. That's why he says very clearly. It says very clearly. On the other hand, the one who lives in my divine will lives as master in the opulence of the goods of her Creator. And as she feels any need, if she feels any need or desire, seeing herself in the midst of so many goods that the divine will possesses, it is of wanting to give this gift to the others. Give her happiness. Give the goods of her great fortune. And it's yours. So all God is looking for is your want. Do you want this? That's why when you read the prayers, the rounds, you'll see God wants and then we want. Capital W. It's divinely wanting. So I want to hear someone who loves the divine will. The more you love the divine will, the more you know. I want to hear from them what this gift has done to them. You know, every one of us has a different understanding. Every one of us has a different idea. And that's the way God wants it, because when God puts us all together, it's a beautiful crystal, you know, with many faceted sides. You know, it's each one is you the same but unique. So as you read this, as you get into this, it's a new beginning. So we have no need of prayer. And that's going to sound sacrilegious. You know, what do you mean you have no need of prayer? Well, the only thing we need, we want, is that others know this. I have no need. I have no want. You know, it's God is in charge. I sit back and I look at my chapel and I go, how did this happen? You know what I mean? God is so good, he is so amazing, that he gives you whatever you even think of, he gives you. And sometimes you don't even have to think of it. You look and you can go, well, that's nice. And you look at it, and then all of a sudden, God gives it to you. Now, this is what it is. So, prayer came and arose after sin. Okay? Now that if we have any need, it's to give the divine will to others. So as you live it, others will possess it. That's why to live in the divine will in the midst of souls. Your family doesn't want this. Your neighbors don't want this. Your coworkers don't want this. But you living in it, it's there in the midst of creatures. The kingdom's here. Remember Jesus said, to the people, you're close to the kingdom. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. Because of Louisa, the kingdom is here. And the soul's linked to Louisa. Bilocation is not a thing just for the saints. When you pray in the divine will, I mean, really, you pray in the Holy Rosary in the divine will. You can be in Nazareth. You can be in Bethlehem. You can be at Golgotha. You can be at Capernaum. You can be at the Sea of Galilee. There's no limit to what God will do. And there's no time or space in the divine will. So your prayer life is not contemplative. It's not meditative. It's not vocal. It's beyond that. Your prayer life is to enter into God and to be one with him and then say to the Lord, whatever you want to do, do it. I mean, it's this whole life that we have is a divine life that God wants us to enter into and let him take charge. Nothing less than that. So listen, this is why this is asterisk. This is the most important of all the things. So he says very clearly, as true image, see, image and likeness of God, who has given so much to Louisa with no restriction, Louisa would like to imitate him by giving to others that which she possesses. So as you read this, Jesus is a soul of goodwill in Russia is beginning to live it. A soul of goodwill in Australia is beginning to live it. You will see them, in eternity. But as you do this, the whole world is changing. The whole world is changing. So he says very clearly. As true image of a creator who has given so much to her with no restriction, she would like to imitate him, giving this gift to others with which she possesses. Oh, how beautiful is the heaven of the soul who lives in my divine will. It gives her its divine strength, its divine life, its divine sanctity, everything. To be able to say, she is a work so fully. She is a work fully from my divine will. Therefore, I, God, want her to lack nothing, to be like me and to possess me. Okay? It's what God is going to do is he's going to bring about a unity with him that will astonish you. Okay? A friend of mine, Jesus used to appear to, and gave him the divinized life, the preternatural life, the glorified life that we're all going to have. And he looked at his arm, and he could see the veins, the arteries, the tendons, the muscles, the bones. He could see the blood going through the capillaries and the arteries. He could see everything, and it was glowing. And he said to Jesus, why am I so happy? And Jesus said, because we are looking at ourselves. See, we're to be one with God in his image and likeness. And this is what it is. I, God, want her to lack nothing, to be like me and to possess me. look into yourself and see the work of my divine will. How your act, invested by its light, have changed the earth of your soul and is changing the earth. Everything is light which arises within you and turns to wound the one who invested it, Jesus. Therefore, the greatest affront that I, God, has received from creatures is to not live or do my holy divine will. Do you see why this is so important to God and why he needs us? He needs us to give our fiat. And then God is doing this. This is not human. It's divine. And again, the first one who will possess this will be the Holy Father. Okay, none of us possess it at this point. We long for it, but none of us possess it. But as we link ourselves to Louisa, as we grow closer to Louisa, we can trust that God is going to do this. Like that was the prayer today. Blessed is she who trusted in the Lord's words to her, that they would be fulfilled. This is why the Feast of the Assumption is our feast day as well. It's the feast day of the divine will. Assume body and soul into heaven. We need a body. We're not spirits when we die. We need a body. And that's what's going to happen. When the kingdom is established, our old buddies, our old pals are coming back. And glorified. See, it's a whole new beginning for mankind. It's sanctification. This is why Jesus, he saved the best for last, and he needs us to just give our fiat. 5:21-5:27. Then lowering his voice, he embraced me and he added, the reason, my daughter, for which I want the rights of my eternal fiat in safety is I want to enclose the most holy Trinity in the soul, and only my divine will can give us the place and the glory worthy of us. And by means of the divine will, we, triune God, can operate freely and lay within you and the souls linked to you all the good of creation, forming yet the more beautiful things. See, that's what God, he's got an infinite number of treasures that he has not shown the angels that he wants to fill us with. In fact, with our divine will in the soul, we can do everything, while without the divine will, we would lack the place in which to put ourselves, in which to lay our works. So not being free, we, triune God, remain in our celestial dwellings. See, God wants to reign in us. He wants to be Lord of our life. It happens as to a king who, loving one of his subjects, is with excess love, wants to descend to live in this subject's little hovel, but he, the king, wants to be free. He wants to put his royal things in this little hovel. He wants his subject to command. See, this goes beyond prayer. He wants the subject to eat his goods, the delicate foods, together with him. In some, he, the king, wants the subject to live his life of king. But the subject does not want to accept the king's royal things, or to command. Nor does he want to adapt himself to the foods of the king. And therefore, the king does not feel free. And for love of freedom, the king goes back to his royal palace. See, God is going to teach us how to command. So prayer, see, when you say this to a priest, I don't have to pray anymore, Father, I'm going to command. And the priest going, and you're going to hell. Well, it's not that way. See, nobody's there yet. To live in the divine will is to do what God wants us to do, okay? To live as God wants us to live. And like he said to Louisa, Louisa, what do you want? She says, Jesus, I only want to do your will. He says, I know that, but what do you want? And she says, Jesus, I only want to do your will. He goes, I understand that, but what do you want? She says, I only want to do your will. And Jesus says, Louisa, don't you understand that what you want is my will? Because you would never do anything opposite my will. So I want to hear from you what I want. And see, that's what's going to happen to us. It's not to command as a general does. Go to your left, go to your right. It's not that. It's, Lord, let it be done as you say. And it's God's will. I mean, none of us are there yet. But what we are praying for is that the promises of the Lord will be fulfilled. Blessed is she who trusted the promises of the Lord, that they would be fulfilled. And that's what we're doing. We're reading God's promises. You know, and as we learn this, as we live this, little by little, God will show you things. You know, it's going to say, tomorrow's rain. You go, wow, we were going to have a party. And you say, Thea, whatever you want, God. And you look and there's the sun. I mean, why? It's God is even changing the weather for your desires. This is not prayer. See, this is why Jesus is commanding. He's asking us to command. So he says, okay, did we do volume 22, 7, 16, 27 yet? Okay. My daughter, when the soul prays, see, he's talking about prayer. In my divine will, all things, all created beings stand at attention. Everything is suspended. Everything silent. Why? Because they're ready for God's command. And they are all intent on admiring the act done in the divine will. Altogether, they follow the prayer. The power of it calls and imposes itself on everything in such a way that everything, all, do the same thing. So the angels, the saints, Our Lady, Our Lord, all mankind is praying your prayer. Okay? If all the other prayers are united together in order to compare with them with a simple prayer done in my holy divine will, this one prayer done in the divine will surpasses them all because it possesses a divine will and an immense power and an incalculable value. I myself feel invested by such a prayer. And as I see that it is my divine will that prays, I, God, feel its power that identifies me with that very prayer. It's going to happen. Now, like I told you about the lady with the wasps. She went back and she says, okay, wasps, get out. And she said she killed no wasps that summer. And you will be astonished. See, this isn't ordinary. You know, this is why, you know, in this talk, somebody might say, well, Father said you don't have to pray. You're doing a divine command. And then it goes to the bishop and the bishop says, you know, he says you don't have to pray anymore. All you do is command. And it's and everything gets blown out of proportion. But when you read this, when you study this, see, it's not for promotion. It's for the little souls that want to live in the divine will. It's not, I mean, I talk to Carmelites, I talk to Dominicans, I talk to, you know, Franciscans, and they just go, thank you, but we have our follower, we have our founder, and we follow him. And it's okay. This is for us to learn how to live this. It's not for everybody at this point. Jesus is depending on us to be linked to Louisa, to form the kingdom of God first in us and then on the earth so that the whole world changes. So that's why I write these things down. So that, did you say this? This is what I said. I said right here and here. I was just following what Felisa said. And it's not, because everything, I don't know how many people have said I said, but it's not for everybody. You know, it can't go on, you know, YouTube. None of this can go on there because people will misunderstand it. I mean, look what the Pope says. The Pope says he doesn't care about homosexuality. Well, if you read the whole article, they asked him about a bishop who they said was homosexual. And the Pope said, who am I to judge? He doesn't know the situation. He doesn't know the cause. So and all they took was that one line. Who am I to judge on homosexuality? But they were accusing a man. And he goes, I'm not here to judge. So, I mean, they're always twisting what the Pope says. So it's, you know, you'll hear a lot of bad things that the Pope has said or may have possibly suggested. But it's like that one man who interviewed him and came out and said all these things. He was an 86-year-old man who went in without a tape recorder and without notes. And he came out and he said, well, the Pope said this. Well, I've talked to a lot of 86-year-old people. And sometimes it's funny. But, you know, so it's the same thing with this. The divine will, you have to know what Jesus is saying. And it's basically for you. My family, they listen to what I say and they go, well, Tom, God bless you. But it's powerful for you. Okay. So it's very, very important. Okay. So Jesus says very clearly, it's an immense power. It's divine power that identifies with Jesus himself. Volume 22, 8, 20, 28, 27. My daughter, it is I, Jesus, who move your soul to do what I, Jesus, want. And many times, I do not even tell you the reason. It's the same thing for us. Then he says this, you must know. This is a command from Jesus Christ. He's always talking about Luisa here. You must know, this is talking to us, that my divine will had its first act in the conception of me, the eternal word. And your love and your acts are acts of justice and are necessary for the conception of the divine will in the humanity of your Jesus, because the first kingdom it laid was in my most holy humanity. Okay, so this is very important. Your love and your acts are divine justice, are acts of divine justice. And he said, my mother brings divine mercy. You, Luisa, are going to bring divine justice. So we've always heard, when mercy ends, divine justice is here. Well, we have divine mercy. And this is a very powerful thing that God has given to us. Yet, there's going to be a time when divine mercy is going to end. See, time is coming to an end. When that time comes to an end, we are now in eternity, which is divine justice, which means we are going to get what we deserve. No, it's going to be, it's going to, because see, we're going to see when we were mad at somebody, when we were angry with somebody, when we yelled at somebody, when we, whatever we did, how it affected that soul and how that soul affected other souls. It was like throwing a stone into a pond. The rippling effect of our sin has affected the whole world to the point of earthquakes, floods, plagues, tornadoes, hurricanes. The earth shudders when we sin. There's no such thing as private sin. And we're going to see how we have hurt people. I mean, can you imagine? Let's look at like a Robin Williams. I mean, who said something to him that was the last straw? You know, if somebody had said something a little nicer, you know, instead of maybe harsher. You know, we're going to see how we've affected everybody. And that's going to frighten many people. When I hear confessions sometimes, this is what I hear. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. You know what my spouse did to me? I said, I'm not here to hear his or her sins. You know, it's what did you do? How did you sin? What did you sin? How did you hurt people? How did you hurt God? Most people don't even look at that. We're supposed to do every night before we go to bed. We're supposed to make a good confession and go over our day. What did we do? How did we affect the people around us? You know, and every one of us should do a general confession, which means you go through your whole life. This is how I lived from 1 to 7. This is how I lived from 8 to, 14. This is how I lived from 14 to 21. This is how I lived from 21 to 28. You go through your whole life. This is how I lived. This is what I did. This is what I thought. This is what I said. You know, and you've got to be ready for that time of justice. And if you haven't confessed your sins, if you don't have sorrow for your sins, it's going to be awful. I mean, at least with a good confession, you know, God forgives and he forgets our sins, but we will see everything we've done. He's going to show us everything we've done. And for some people, it will kill them because they haven't recognized how sinful they've been, how they've hurt people around them, how they hurt God. You know, so we again, as a Catholic, that's what Catholics do. We go to confession. we make a good act of contrition every night. We want to love God more tomorrow than today, and more today than yesterday. Our love for God has to grow. And this is what he's looking for. He's really looking for souls to do this. So he says very clearly, now, in order to give you the right, see, this is the divine right, that it might reign in you, Louisa, with justice it demanded your love while it conceived in my holy humanity. See, we're all conceived in Christ. And since for my supreme fiat there was no past nor future, but everything is present, while I conceived in the sovereign queen, I conceived in your love, in your pains, in your very volition, that was to reign in you, so that you do nothing but give its rights, provided it what it is needed, so as to have it conceived in you, for you to receive the rights, to have it lay its kingdom and take its in its hand the scepter of command with absolute dominion. So now we see Our Lady having the scepter of command. We see the Lord with the scepter of command. Now the little newborn has the scepter of command. Now we link to Louisa, who has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. Then we also have the scepter of command. Do you see what Jesus is saying? It's a royalty that he's bestowing upon us. Okay? Now you do nothing but give it its right, provided to it what is needed, so as to have it conceived in you. See, we have to have God conceived in us. For you to receive the rights, this is the royal rights, to have its lay its kingdom in you, and then you are to take in your hand the scepter of command with absolute dominion. So you can say to that mountain, move, and it has to move. You say to that sycamore, be uprooted and cast into the sea, and it must obey you. Do you see why we're having this retreat? God wants us to learn how to pray, but not to pray the way the saints have prayed. Now, friends of mine have the little blue book, the what? Pietà book, thank you. I hear something. The Pietà book. Now, and they say to me, I read this every day, front to back, back to front. I read the Pietà book. I love what Jesus said to St. Gertrude. I loved what Jesus said to St. Bridget. I loved it. Again, that's beautiful. That's good. That's holy. That's saintly. But it's not divine will. It's begging God, pleading with God. Okay? Jesus is saying to us, if we're with Louisa, that's why she's here. If we're with her, Mama Mary, Mama Louisa, I should say, Mama Mary's here. Mama Louisa's back there. We receive, as she received, the scepter of command. What does God want you to command? I mean, really, you got to think about, what does Jesus want for you? Why is he giving you this gift? So that you can continue being a great whole. Like I said, Father, what will we do without you? I said, you'll be great saints without me. But you're not going to live in the divine will because you're not going to read this. Oh, we'll always read the divine will. You don't. It's the first thing that disappears. What is the scepter of command of Louisa? This is how we're going to learn how to pray. With authority. And the miracles that are going to happen are astonishing. You talk about healings. I remember I was in a church, I forgot when, and it was about maybe 30 years ago, and I was in this church, and everybody was being slain in the spirit. Everybody fell down. Vroom, this went, vroom, that went in front. Vroom. Everybody's going down, and this couple came up to me, and they said, God wants you to be slain in the spirit. I said, well, if he wants me to smash my face on this floor, this marble floor, so be it. So I closed my eyes and they put their hands in my head and they both go down. You know, boom, boom, boom. So the guy was kind of obnoxious, so I didn't talk to him. But I said to her, you know, I'm supposed to be there, not you. What's coming is so magnificent. The healings we haven't seen anything yet. What God is going to do is going to astonish the world. What he has planned. See, what he says about the saints, the miracles of the saints were band-aids. Everybody that was healed 100 years ago is dead. They didn't make it. The miracles through Louisa are not band-aids. They're miracle of miracles. And the miracle of miracles is this great gift of the divine will. So what is it going to take to make a Muslim say, Muhammad who? What is it going to take the Jews to say, I want to be a baptized Catholic? What is it going to take the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Protestants to say, I want to receive the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Jesus? I want to kneel in front of him. It's this great gift of the divine will. What's coming is so amazing. And God wants us to participate in this, okay? Blessed is she who trusted in the words spoken to her, the promises spoken to her. The scepter of command, of absolute dominion, is Louisa's. And the little children of the holy divine will link to Louisa. So this is what God, you have to, don't limit what God wants to do. Don't limit what he wants to do. I mean, what you can do is you can have fun. God loves to have fun. Like I told you about the boot. He puts Corrado, Louisa, in the heel of this boot, right? Just to remind us, she's going to, and the other thing too, we're with Louisa. We're going to crush the head of Lucifer as well. With Louisa, as our mother has, the children will do. In our own life first, and then in the life of our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, everything. See, we're in the divine will in the midst of souls, in the midst of people. So what is God doing? He wants us to be aware that this gift is infinite and endless. It's anything and everything you could even possibly imagine. So the miracles that are going to happen are not just one person doing this and one person doing that. What God has got ready, he's going to bring together mankind. The communities are going to form. And when he has, because the devil is going to destroy everything. You know what I mean? Well, as he brings the communities together, as the angels seal the communities, in those communities, great power is going to be there because the scepter of command is given to all the children there. What do you think God's going to do? I mean, this is the thing. He loves us so much that he has chosen us to live at this time to accomplish what he wants. Okay? This isn't a saintly thing. This isn't a good thing. This isn't a holy thing. This is a divine thing. So here, this on page 8, and it's on page 8. It says, very clearly, so now you do nothing, this is the same thing with us, but give its right, its place in us, providing to it what is needed. Okay, that's our fiat. So as to have it conceived in you. This is God being conceived in us for us to be able to receive the rights to have it lay its kingdom in us and then take in hand the scepter of command with absolute dominion if you are linked to Louisa. Because it's hers. So with a mystical marriage, if we're linked to Louisa, we also can have it. This is why that lady up there is so important. One of the things he says that she is our little mama. Okay, when this came to be this year, Jesus said very clearly, he said, as I gave John to my mother, take her into your home, into your heart. He gives Louisa to us to take her into our heart. So it's very, very, very important that we get to know who Louisa is. I mean, she's the newborn. She's the firstborn. And if you go through the titles, I told you about the book. It's, 240 pages, single space, of all the titles that Jesus gave to Louisa in the 36 volumes. He loves her. He says in volume 12, I, God, cannot live without you, Louisa. Now, if Jesus is saying that, what do we say? See, it's if you want to be a Franciscan, you fall in love with Francis and you follow his rules. You shave your head, you wear the rags. If you want divine will, you follow Louisa. You link yourself to Louisa. It's very, very important. She is very, very necessary for us to understand what God wants for us. I mean, just look at this last line. This, you can sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament for hours and take it personally. So now you do nothing but give the divine will its rights in you. Provide to the divine will what is needed, and that's your fiat, so as to have the divine will conceived in you. And not only that, but for you to receive the rights, the royal rights that Adam lost, to have the divine will lay its kingdom in you, and then you take in hand the scepter of command with absolute dominion. That's astonishing. We'll end there, and then we'll have the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.